Tonight's good afternoon, everyone.
Please go ahead and open your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. A couple of words of introduction before I start. last week I mentioned I figured out who are some of the people on YouTube who watch us live. One of them was our friend, whose name starts with a Y. And before the service, Austin told me of another person who watches online, who is a member of the Miyajima Praise Chapel. So hello to you, sir. Thank you for joining us so often. Also, this morning, before this service, I was in Saijo at a place called Megumi Church, Megumi Kyokai, Higashi Hiroshima Megumi Kyokai. And it's a beautiful, beautiful church, new building. It's only 4 years old. Actually, I visited that church 20 years ago in 2004 or 5, and they had an old building. It was a small, typical old church building. And then now it's this big, beautiful space, air-conditioned and wide, and many people were there, filled with so many people from Saijo. They have a wonderful, thriving ministry. I kind of thought it's a kind of Mitaki of Saijo, because there's so many people, young people, babies, children, families, high schoolers, university students. And Jim and Grace were also there. Grace's daughter Joyce was joining, and we had wonderful fellowship with them. They're there now. They're having what's called the English Gospel Hour, where they sing songs and then have some fellowship as an international group. So, yeah, wonderful people. So that's where I was this morning. Okay, so let's begin with our sermon. We're in Matthew 6. It's part 2 of our mini-series on prayer. Jesus, our Lord, is teaching us how to pray. It's amazing. So, last week we read from verse 5 through 8 how Jesus told us that we don't need to pray for people to see us. Our motivation is not for public recognition, but for private reward with our Heavenly Father. Also, you can tell if you're a real Christian by how you pray. Very often, well, many things we do in religious life, whether it's giving, singing, attending, serving, teaching, providing, everything is done in the sight of everyone. You can see it. But Jesus says there's one thing you can do that's not to be seen by anyone, and that's how you can know if it's genuine. If you're doing it not to be seen, or not for the praise of the public, which is prayer. And then he gives us the model prayer. So, you know that I am a teacher. And whenever I teach my students, I give them homework or a project for the summertime. I write an explanation what they should do for their summer project or for their homework. No one reads my explanation for their homework. All they do is look at the sample, right? The tehon or the mihon. I give them the sample page, they see what I've done, and they say, ah, narahodo ne. And then they do that. And that's what Jesus has done. He explains to us prayer, but more importantly, He shows us. He gives us the sample prayer. And with the sample, this is not the only way he's saying. He's saying this is the base. This is like the frame. You fill it. You build on top of it. If you look at the tree, there's the center trunk, and then there's the branches and the leaves. This prayer that he gives us from verse 9 to 15 is the main trunk. But we grow it. We expand on it with the branches and the leaves. And so, let's read it together. From verse 9 to 15. Yeah, let's read it all from beginning to end, okay? Here we go, ready? Ready, let's pray. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we're not going to cover everything today. I think we'll cover the first line from verse 9. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I think I'll probably get that far today. And then I want to show you how I use my prayer ropes, or how I want to demonstrate a sample of the way I pray, just as a way of discipleship, a way of teaching. So, all right, so Jesus teaching on prayer, that first line, he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. But before that, he says, one sentence of explanation. This then is how you pray. So, the first thing he's teaching us is right here. Just this sentence right here shows us prayer is natural, but it's not easy. Prayer is something we do, but prayer is something we must learn. It's like a child who can speak. Ah, ah, ma, ma, ah, abba, abba, baba, daddy, mommy. But the child needs to learn how to enunciate. So a child can make an utterance with their voice, but as he grows, he learns how to articulate the meanings of those vocal utterances. And so people think, praying, it's just connecting my heart to God. It's expressing my heart to the Lord. Yeah, that's true. It comes natural, but it's also something we must learn. So, for example, if you think of a helicopter and you want to learn how to fly it, you don't go to the helicopter. No, just a student of the helicopter just doesn't go and say, oh yeah, I'll just pull this lever, push these buttons, and if he is not careful to learn the steps and to understand that this is a big and powerful machine, he'll never fly. And in fact, he could endanger other people. There is something about prayer that you must respect and tremble because it's so powerful that you just don't waltz into it. That's one thing. You know, yesterday we had the wedding. Oh, yeah, the wedding. I forgot to say, talk about the wedding. Tim, Toshie, congratulations. That wedding was a top five wedding I've had here in Japan. Out of 10 points, I give that wedding 9 out of 10. Decorations, full score. Ceremony, full score. The colors, the gifts, full score. The food, full score. The atmosphere, full score. The one minus point I would give is the weather. It was so hot. Yeah, but what can you do, right? But other than that, just the music, the songs, I felt like, I love it when a wedding feels like church. And we were singing hymns, we had the scriptures, and yeah, we were in church. So many weddings now are in public venues, you know, and there's nothing holy and sacred. And in a church, singing hymns, ah, beautiful. Amy sang the song. So anyways, all right, so 9 out of 10. It was a privilege to participate in it. Okay. I happened to give premarital counseling to Amy and Luke before. Luke, what am I saying? Sorry, Amy and Tim, forgive me. Sorry. Every sermon, I forget, I get a name wrong. Every sermon, huh? Yeah, Lord willing. So Amy and Tim, we had a couple of premarital counseling sessions. And one of the things you understand with young people, you know, falling in love is very easy. It's not a problem. It's staying in love. And yeah, the secret to, not the wedding, the secret to marriage is not having this emotional, you know, keeping the emotions high and keeping the crush, or, you know, keeping the honey on the moon. That's not marriage. Marriage is natural in that you fall in love, but every married person knows it takes work. It takes work because you have to know this person. God says you, the two, are becoming one. And you think that's so natural and so easy at first. Yeah, it's emotions. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. You desire it. And then the person doesn't use the toothpaste the right way, or they don't leave the toilet seat the right way, or the way they sleep. It's just, you know, they're on you, or they're noisy, me. And so you have to find ways to overcome differences, disagreements, and that takes work. Prayer is you becoming one with God, becoming more and more open to God, and becoming more accept, you're taking his life into yours. That takes work. It's natural. You want to do it, right? But it takes work too. It's not easy. So Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. You have to learn how to pray. It may come naturally. Yesterday, I was noticing in the party, the wedding reception yesterday, most of us, we knew each other, and we were so comfortable having conversation in the kitchen, on the sofa, by the food, and we were just chatting. And there were some people there who were Amy's friends from elementary school, and they would talk with each other. And it's rare that we would talk to each other, you know, people from the church would talk to Amy's friends. And I felt so bad, there was one friend standing in the corner, watching and looking, kind of maybe waiting for someone to talk, you know. Yeah, every wedding is like that. There's always a few. Every party is like that. There's always someone. It's hard to learn how to meet people and talk with people and ask a question and be interesting and be interested in them. Just having a conversation with someone, that's a skill that you must learn. And so here we are, we're following Jesus Christ, we're following God, we're trying to open ourselves with God, we're trying to take his life into ours. Jesus is saying here, this then is how you get better and better and better. This is the skill, and here's how you can do it. And so that's the first thing, is we need to learn. And that just takes time. That's it. Now, I'm not here to say, shame on you, you're not praying enough. Because anyone who tries to pray, anyone who wants to pray, always feels they don't pray enough. That's just life. Here's the problem. The problem is, if you feel like you're praying enough. Yeah, I go home 5 minutes before bed, it's enough. I wake up, I say the prayer, it's enough. The way that you know you're praying enough is when you feel you're not praying enough. It's weird, really weird. If I ask you, are you praying enough? If you say, no, I need to pray more, I believe you. I believe you. If you say, I have a good prayer life, I just don't believe you. I don't. Because there's something in the way that we're made that when we pray, we know there's more we could do. Because we know we're learning. It's like the child who is learning to speak. And they know there's a few more words I need to learn. There's a few sentences I want to be able to speak. That's the child of God who wants to learn how to pray. So, the child of God learning to pray. That's the second part. Jesus starts, our Father. Our Father. Yeah, okay, so just amazing, profound. Our Father. Jesus says in 18 verses, from verse 1 to 18, the word Father is there 9 times. And Jesus is not the first person in the Bible to call God Father, but Jesus is the first person to say God is his Father. And Jesus is the first person to teach us that God is our Father. I wanted to double check this with other religions. You know that some of you have our common friend. He's a Muslim. He actually comes to Mitaki on occasion. He's from Pakistan. And so I sent him a message. I texted him, how do Muslims feel about calling God Abba, Father? So we went out and we had dinner last week. Interesting, in Urdu, which is the language of Pakistan, the word father is Abu, or you can say Abuji, or you can also say Abba, which is basically the Near Eastern word for your biological father. It's like mama, right? And that's the word, Abba. In English, there's father, right? But that's very katai, very formal. You know, we don't say, hey, father, we say daddy. My children call me daddy. Or Japanese say papa, right? Yeah. The Japanese children don't say, oh, to-sama. You don't say that. Maybe they'll say to-chan. To-chan. But the small children, the one who are always holding, the one who are being held, it's papa, right? Yeah. That's that word. And why do I say burn? Because for many people who are praying, their prayer is cold. It's dry. There's no life. Really, it's just, ugh, prayer. So, if you understand the meaning that Jesus is showing us with our Father, there should be no dryness, no coldness, no lifelessness. So, here's my image. Here's the image. Next week, I'm going to take a camping trip with my family, one night. Every time we go camping, the best part of camping is fire, right? So we build the fire. And so I teach my boys, okay, when you make the fire, you start with the small sticks, the small leaves, the dried grass. You start with the small things. You put the little chaku, the lighter, right? Or you put the fluid or the gel, whatever it is. Right? And you start with that small thing, and you'll see a little smoke, and you'll see some sparks, but you have to keep going. Smoke is not enough. You have to wait till the fire burns. And then you have to, with the uchiwa, you blow it, right? You don't start with the big wood, you don't start with the heavy wood. You start with the small ones, and you fan it. It takes effort. You blow it. And then it burns. And then when it's burning, that's when you know you can put the big stuff on there. Jesus says, if you understand our Father, don't go to the next line. Don't go to in heaven, hallowed be your name. Don't go there. Don't go to give us our daily bread, forgive us our sin. Don't go to lead us from today. Stay with our Father until your heart burns. Stay there. How? Let me give you an example. We always end our prayer with, in Jesus' name, right? Yesu-sama no minna niyotte o inori shimasu, right? And then we say, Amen. Because that's, Jesus taught us, if you pray in my name, the Father will hear you, right? But in this one, he doesn't say, in Jesus' name, right? In his prayer. There's no in Jesus' name. Why? Why? Because when you say our Father means in Jesus' name. How? When you say, God, you are my Father, you say, you are my Father through your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is my Savior. He died so I can have my sins forgiven. He died to open the way for me to be with you. I am your child through your Son, Jesus. Therefore, when you say, Father, you're saying that you are a follower, a disciple, an heir and co-heir with Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Yeah? Our Father means in Jesus' name. So how does God listen to you? He listens to you like I listen to my daughter. I've said this last week. I'll say it every week. I have 6 children, 5 boys, 1 girl. I have no favorites. but my one girl is worth 10 sons. No favorites, no favorites, but my one girl, you can throw away the other boys, I'll keep the son, all right? No favorites, okay? But I love my girl more than any other son I could ever have, all right? No favorites, okay? But when my girl, my daughter says something for me, what do you want? What can I get for you? What do you need? I want to give to her more than she wants to ask from me. Because I'm her father. I love her so much. Let that relationship with God be like the father and the daughter. Understand, God is looking at you with so much love. He says, as many as received Jesus, to them he gave power, authority, legal status, to become the sons and daughters of God, even to them that believed in his name. Galatians, that was John chapter 1, but here's Galatians chapter 4. God sent his son into the world that we might receive adoption as sons. So there was a man in America. He has a brother and a sister. One day, the father invites the sons to lunch. He says, boys, I'm going to die soon, and I made a will, but the lawyer says I have to talk to you. Because in the law, your sister has the right to get more than you do. And the two sons look at each other. And they say, but father, we're natural born. You adopted our sister. How does she have more rights under the law than us? Why does she have more authority? Why does she get more of your will than we do, naturally? We were born your sons, your children. She was adopted. And here's the interesting thing about one state in America. If the father chooses the child, or the mother chose the child through adoption, they have more rights, because children who are born, it's natural. The father or the mother did not choose the son or the daughter. It just came. But in order to adopt the child, the mother and the father had to go search for the child, apply for adoption, pay a price for the adoption, go through the process. And so because of adoption, that adopted child has a higher status than the natural born children. And the father had to explain the sons that. The Bible says we are the adopted children of God. And through Jesus Christ, our status, our authority, our right to be with God should burn. It should burn. Yeah. Our Father. Okay, almost finished. Let's get one more down. All right, now, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to challenge you this week to change one thing about the way you pray. Because Jesus says, when you pray, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It means let your name be respected, be reverenced, be held in honor, be elevated above other names. Hallowed be your name, right? It's amazing that Jesus did not start with, our Father, give us today our daily bread. Jesus did not start with, our Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. He did not start, Father, lead us not in, no request. Jesus starts with worship. So Jesus says, when you pray, You worship. You worship. And so what do you do when you worship? Well, when we sing, there's no requests in these songs so much as they are adoration. They're exaltation. God, this is who you are. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. Right? What are the other lyrics that we sang today? You came to the world you created, trading your crown for a cross. You willingly died, your innocent life paid the cost. Counting your status as nothing, the King of all kings came to serve. Washing my feet. So you're just rehearsing or repeating the thing that God did. Right? That's all you're doing. You're attributing to God the goodness of his presence or the goodness of his nature. You are my life and my treasure, the one that I can't live without. I love that. Here at your feet, my desires and dreams I lay down. I love it. More of you means less of me. Take everything. That's what Jesus is saying. When he says, hallowed be your name, what you say is everything about God that you know. Okay? So, let me do an example. Let's do a sample prayer, okay? So tomorrow you'll wake up and you'll say, Heavenly Father, our Father, hallowed be your name. God, you gave me this day. God, it's so hot, but you refresh my soul. God, I'm lonely, but you are with me forever. God, I'm hungry, but you are my satisfaction. God, you are good all the time. All the time you are good. God, I'm going to work now. But God, you are my rest. God, I'm going to this place with these coworkers and these students. But Lord, you are my ever-present help in time of trouble. God, I feel anxious and nervous. But you are my strength and my shield. God, you are my tower, my refuge. God, I'm here in Japan, but God, you brought me over the seas. You provided every single thing I've needed, even now. And God, I was so poor, but God, you've given me so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? Don't make one request. Okay? That's your challenge this week. Not one request. When you pray, and here's the thing. It's so easy to flip. Here's the pattern, my typical pattern. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for my boys and my girl. Oh, God, please help Kyohei with his basketball. And, Kenzo feels sick. Please help him feel better. And thank you for school today. Please help that one student I don't like. And please help me. And make that person change his attitude towards me. I'm still praying. I'm still thanking. Okay, God, thank you for the food. And please bless the food. It's so easy to switch from worship to request. All right. So this week, make a conscious effort to go 100% worship in your prayer, because Jesus taught us that. That's how you begin. All right. And yeah, if you don't know how to do that, read the Psalms. I read Psalm 30 and 31 this morning, not one request. Well, there was a little bit of request, but most of it, here's the situation, God. Here's my heart, God. Here's what you did in the past. Here's how you've helped me before. Here's how I know you can do it again. Right? That's the pattern. So, we'll end this week the same way we ended last week. Forgive me, cameraman, I'm going to my bag once more. I'll be back. Right. Yeah. Okay. Last week, most of you received a prayer rope, right? Excuse me. And these prayer ropes, they're called komboskini or chotki. And I just gave them out last week as a gift. And I said that this is my gift. I made these by hand. My plan is to give this to the whole church, the Japanese service too, for Christmas. So at Christmas, I'm going to put this in the lobby, spread it out, and say, please take as many as you want for free. Don't sell it. Don't use it for fashion. It's not for fashion. It's for prayer. As a Christmas gift. But before that, I'm giving it to the English service. So while I'm preaching on prayer, I'm giving these out. So there's some of you that weren't here last week. So I'm going to have these out at the end of the service. And please take whatever you want, whatever size, whatever color, whatever number. But I want to explain a little bit, because some people were asking questions last week, how to use it, how I made it, why I made it. So I'll just give a small explanation, okay? Am I good? All right, so last year, 2022, around January, I was struggling with my prayer life. Actually, 2021. I wasn't praying enough. My prayers were dry and cold. And I knew in January I wanted to do something different with my prayer life. I work at a Catholic school, and I was working next to a priest, a Jesuit priest. And as a gift, he gave me his Catholic rosary. Rosaries are beads. And I said, thank you. I never used it. I just put it in my desk. I'm not Catholic, so I don't pray the rosary. But last January, I took out the rosary from my desk, and I don't pray Hail Mary, Mother of God. But I use that rosary to help me concentrate on my prayer. Because when I'm touching the cross, or I'm touching the bead, I stay focused on what I'm praying about, okay? That's all it was. It was a kinetic sensory aid to my prayer. And then the beads became, I'm praying for my wife. The next bead is I'm praying for my son. The next bead is my second son, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. And then the next set of beads, I'm praying for Miwa. The next one, I'm praying for Lord Will, for Cindy, for Naomi, for Tim, for Toshi. Like that. That's how I was praying. The beads, okay? But then the beads are so long. And I wanted something smaller. And something more discreet. Because if I'm at my desk and I have this long rosary, chotto kinaru, I feel like, you know. So I wanted something I could just pray. I just hold it. So I went on YouTube and I found out how to make these small prayer ropes. Now, in the Catholic Church, they use beads for their rosaries. In the Anglican Church, which is Protestant, they also use wooden beads for their rosary. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, which is older than the Catholic Church, they use what's called a chotki or a komboskini. One is Russian, the other is Ukrainian. That's the word. But it's basically a rope. And so these are not beads, they are knots. And there is a special way to tie the knot. There's 8 loops. And there's a whole story behind it. There's no time to get into it. Just look on YouTube and they'll show you the story. It's pretty cool. Okay, and so instead of beads, there are knots. And depending on the size, there's a group of 7 knots and then a bead, or a group of 10 knots. Usually the total number is like 21 or 18 or 30, just, you know, Bible numbers. Okay, so here's, let me show you how I start. I start at the cross. I hold the cross, and I pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth. So I pray the Lord's Prayer. And then the next is a bead. And on that bead, I'll say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on my family. And then I pray, my wife, my children, all the way down. And then the next bead, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on my church. And I pray for Miwa and Tim and Toshie and everyone in my church. Right? And then I go back and, oh, I'm at the cross again. So when I come back to the cross, I recite a scripture about the cross. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on my school. I pray for this student, this coworker, this team member, this, like that. Okay? All right? That's how I pray. That's what I do. It's very simple. Okay, one last thing. I had my blood pressure checked 3 weeks ago. Kitsatsu, right? My blood pressure this year is 112 over 63. The years before that, it was 129, 135 over 70, blah, 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 right? My blood pressure dropped this year. And I really think one of the reasons my blood pressure dropped is this. Because whenever I felt stressed, angered, especially angry, I would pray the Jesus Prayer. The Jesus Prayer is what the Orthodox Christians use. The Jesus Prayer is very simple. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Shuye sama, kami no ko de ari. Watashi yo sumibito o aorende kudasai. And that's what they do. So all I do is when I feel stressed or I have anger issues, okay? Every bead, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on. I do this when I'm coaching basketball. Oh, coaching basketball, I have this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, the chief of sinners. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the God. And it's not vain repetition. It's not mindless babbling. Every single prayer, I'm giving my heart to God, asking him for mercy through Jesus Christ. That's all I'm doing. And I really believe that had an effect on my physical health. That's how I believe it, okay? I'm not advocating a diet or some technique. This is not technique. This is prayer. This is not a technique. This is a tool. Right? So please use it. All right? And yeah. Let's have a new way to pray. Let's grow. Let's learn in our prayer with the Lord. So I'm going to put these out on the table. Or no, I'll just leave it here on the piano. Yeah, Lord Will and Sin, I think you weren't here. And Respect and Hajime-san. Maybe you weren't here. I think Respect, you have one. But yeah, but there'll be more if you want that. So, and then I'll bring it again next week for whoever comes, and we'll teach some more on that. So, all right? All right, so let's pray, and then we'll close our service. So, Our Father, we love you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. You gave him to us to teach us, to save us. You give us your love through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love. We thank you for prayer. We thank you for the teaching on how to pray. We thank you for giving us the spirit of prayer. We thank you for burning our prayers so that we burn for you. We thank you that the burning bush is a picture of prayer in some way. We thank you for time to pray. We thank you for giving us a heart of prayer. We thank you that you listen to our prayers more than we even want to speak our prayers. We thank you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and stand up. We'll sing our closing song together.
A cross, you willingly died, innocent life paid the cost. Counting your status as nothing, King of all kings came to serve, washing my feet, covering me with your love. Less of me, take everything. If all of you is all I need, take everything. You are my life and my treasure, the one that I can't live without. Here at your feet, my desires and dreams I lay down. Here at your feet. Here at your feet, my desires and dreams I lay down. If more of you means less of me, take everything. If all of you is all I need, take everything. Oh Lord.
We thank you for bringing us here today. But as we go, Lord, we ask that you fill us with your Spirit, that as we are filled, we would have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. And for these good things, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.